Now we're going to have a look at the issue of black lung disease, which tragically has re-emerged in this country, particularly affecting Australian coal mine workers, some of them aged just in their 30s. And it's been blamed on a litany of government and industry failures. We had an interim report yesterday by the Senate Select Committee on Health. It's found that there's a perfect storm of regulator failure, industry indifference, also incompetence and patchy health monitoring. It's a damning report that recommends urgent action to prevent more cases of the insidious killer disease, which is entirely preventable. So far, 8 cases of black lung have been diagnosed in Queensland coal mine workers in the past year. The title of the Senate report, Black Lung, It Has Buggered My Life, draws on evidence given by 73-year-old Percy Verrill. Now, he's the first Australian to be diagnosed in 30 years. He's a former Ipswich coal miner, and he shared his story on the union-backed website Dust to Dust, which is campaigning on behalf of workers over black lung disease.
The government and the mines department know what's going to happen, and this is why we're trying to get them to do agree, own up to it and say, yeah, you'd have got it, and change it so they can make it better for the new workers. If you get that bad, like the way I've got it, I would say, don't go in. Get out of it, you know. It's not worth risking your health and your life over anything like that.
Now that's Percy Verrill. You can really hear him struggling to breathe there. In his evidence to the Senate inquiry, Percy Verrill detailed how difficult it was to get a diagnosis and also treatment. Now, that's a complaint dealt with not only in the Senate report, but also it's also at the centre of a Queensland government-ordered review into the existing health screening system. The review's been conducted by Professor Malcolm Sim. He's the director of the Monash Centre for Occupational and Environmental Health. He also gave evidence to the Senate inquiry. Malcolm Sim, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Alison. Pleased to be here.
Let's begin with the Senate interim report, which has made a series of recommendations largely around controlling coal dust levels. Do you see that as being the priority?
Look, there's no doubt that the first line of attack on this problem is to make sure that we're controlling dust exposure effectively and that we have consistent occupational exposure limits throughout the country. And that was the main focus of the Senate report, and we're fully supportive of that.
Okay. Now, the Senate committee wants all states and territories to adopt a national standard for coal dust exposure and for Safe Work Australia to review current dust exposure levels. Is there much of a difference between the jurisdictions, how they monitor dust standards or dust levels?
I think there is considerable differences between different jurisdictions throughout the country, and this applies not just to coal dust and silica exposure, but also to other workplace hazards as well. So we would be fully supportive of a national approach to this coordinated by Safe Work Australia.
Yeah, but I guess even if there is a national approach, clearly whatever measures are put in place, it also comes down to just how effectively governments monitor industry compliance. Looking at the health issues, the Senate report raises concern about regulator capture. It gives specific examples around the nominated medical assessors who are responsible for screening the workers, but are also on the payroll for mining companies. Is that, I guess, a contradiction that needs to change?
Well, I think in regards to keeping dust levels at a safe level, there are various steps, as you've pointed out. I mean, one is identifying what an appropriate occupational exposure limit would be, and that's based on a review of the literature showing health effects from different levels of exposure. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's just a number on a piece of paper. It's got to be complied with within industry and enforced and monitored. And I think this is where there have been some problems in those steps, certainly in Queensland and I think in other jurisdictions as well.
Yeah, now the Senate committee does predict that there will be more cases of black lung in Australia. I understand your team is currently reviewing hundreds of workers' x-rays. How many more cases are we going to get? I mean, can you give us an idea of the extent of the problem?
Look, well, I'm not able to do that just at the moment, but you're absolutely right. We're reviewing some hundreds of previous x-rays for longer term coal workers in Queensland. We're also looking at spirometry results and other aspects of the medical screening program as well, the health assessment form. So when we're doing a survey of spirometry testing and so on, so it's a multifaceted approach to this. We'll have a clearer understanding of that once we've finished that review in the next couple of months.
Okay. The fact, though, that some of these men who are being diagnosed with black lung, they're only in their 30s. What can you tell us about what kind of life these still young men are going to have?
Well, a coal worker's pneumoconiosis or black lung is a slightly progressive respiratory condition. It's other term is interstitial fibrosis. So the lung tissue itself becomes fibrotic and doesn't transfer oxygen across into the bloodstream as effectively as you and me. So there is a gradual increase in symptoms over time, shortness of breath, increased risk of chest infections and so on over time. So if you do develop it very young, it means a long-term future where you're very short of breath and your quality of life is very badly affected.
And are these men getting the correct follow-up treatment and support? Are you happy with that, or do we need to do more to treat these guys?
Well, I think there are various steps. I mean, one is being able to more effectively identify people who have developed this particular problem. And I think this has been at the heart of the problem in Queensland. There haven't been the systems in place to adequately pick these up at an early time. And the earlier you pick it up, you can reduce exposure and so, reduce the progression of the disease. The second step is, once they're picked up, making sure that whoever's managing them from a medical point of view understands the nature of the disease and is able to treat and manage them effectively. And we've been working closely with the Thoracic Society of Australia and New Zealand to develop a better system amongst the thoracic physicians up in Queensland to manage these cases.
Okay, now a real layman's question, and please excuse my ignorance, but how is it that black lung disappeared for 30 years only to re-emerge? What happened in the 30 years?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't think we have the answer to that. I think this goes back to looking at how well the exposure limits were enforced and were implemented, clearly there were some people there who had excessive amounts of exposure to coal dust over that period. I mean, we're going back some decades, so it's a little hard to know exactly what the situation was back in the sort of 80s and 90s and even earlier in some cases. So, I mean, this condition will occur when there is a sufficient coal dust and silica exposure. There's no question about that. And I think there was a drop-off in cases, or apparent drop-off. We don't know that that's necessarily the case. And over time, these cases have slowly progressed to a point where people develop symptoms and were assessed and the diagnosis made.
Well, at least we have identified that we do have a problem with black lung again. Professor Sim, good luck with all your work, and thanks very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Good. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Professor Malcolm Sim from Monash University, and his report is due at the end of June, the Senate Select Committee's final report. The final report is also due in late June.